Joshua. There you go. That's the intro you get. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 39. Once you have made your way there successfully, turn your Bible to Psalm 123. Keep a finger in Luke 18. We are going to return. We're going to return to Luke 18 after the prayer. Psalm 123. You have no idea what I'm going to preach about today, so take this with a grain of salt and just trust me that this psalm is incredibly pertinent to Luke 18, verse 39. And I'm going to read it, and I want you to read it with me. And as I'm praying, I don't care if you block out everything I say to just either reread this psalm or just to meditate on the words of this psalm before we go into Luke 18. Psalm 123, verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Father, let us not waste the opportunity to be introduced or reintroduced to the incarnate Son that You sent for us. God, that we would find a unique way to attach ourselves to the weeping beggar in Luke 18, whose only plea to get Your Son's attention was, Son of David, have mercy on me. God, we ask that You would empower us to pray that prayer today. And we ask that You empower us to withstand those who would seek to stop us from making that prayer. In Your precious and holy name, pray. Amen. Luke 18 is without a doubt my favorite chapter in all of the Gospels. Hands down. 1 Corinthians 15 is my favorite chapter of the entire Bible. Luke 18 is my favorite chapter in the Gospels. Particularly the story of the blind beggar between 35 and 43. And I could spend time walking through the entire event, the entire occurrence. And that would be really beneficial. But I'm trying something a little bit different. And so we're only going to look at verse 39. And so I'm not going to fault you if while I'm speaking, you read the context around this verse. But we are only going to look at verse 39. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is an interesting thing and an interesting symbolism that immediately jumps out at the beginning of this verse. You know the context. Jesus Christ is on his way down a road. And there is an individual in the back who has to get past those in front. Now, this gets translated multiple ways. In our English Bibles, sometimes it says, those who lead. Mine renders it, those who are in front. And the warning to those, just off the bat, in church, is that very often, we are the people in front. Jesus is coming, we know, we proclaim that. And we want to be as close as possible to hear His Word. That's why these people were in front. They got here early. Maybe they showed up and made the coffee. They're handing out snacks. They're welcoming people as they come into the church. These people are in front. They are ready. They are primed to hear Jesus. This may have been the highlight of their day, their month, their year. Maybe they took a road trip. We're going to go hear Jesus. We're going to get prime seats in front. That's not a bad thing. It's okay for people to want to be in front. It's okay for people to want to hear Jesus. problem's not with their location. The problem's with what they do. They rebuke him. Who's him? Blind beggar. And you're more than welcome. If I ask a question, you can blurt out an answer. Those of y'all who are here on Wednesday nights know more than enough about the conversations we have while I teach. Those who were in front rebuked him. Blind beggar, getting rebuked. And he gets rebuked for the very same thing. He cries out again in verse 39, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Heaven forbid that those in front would not be able to hear Jesus because someone needs his mercy. And yet the church is full of people in front, rebuking those who desperately need the Son of David to have mercy on them. Now, we shouldn't stay that way. And it's easy not to stay that way when we are able to properly pray, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But I return to the idea and the concept that is so pertinent in American society. To hear a good sermon, to hear good teaching, to read a good Christian book, to get the best study Bible, to make sure you go to the biggest church, to make sure you go to the place with the best worship, to make sure you have the best seat in the house, to make sure you can hear all the audio perfectly, to make sure the musician is always on key, to make sure the pastor says something that you like to hear, because we desperately want to hear Jesus. But you know what? That's not good enough. Because very often what happens is when you have people who their only purpose is to hear Jesus, they're not going to respond to Him. They don't recognize their need for Him. We've got tons of people in the world who want to hear Jesus. In fact, we even increase the number of people who want to hear Jesus when we dumb down who He is. The world doesn't mind hearing about Jesus as long as He's teaching something moral and proper for society. As long as He's teaching us to love one another and not judge one another. People love to hear Jesus. They line up, and when someone in the back screams, "That same Jesus, I need mercy," they tell him to shut up. Literally, they tell him to be silent. Those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Stop distracting our Savior with your nonsense and please. I want to hear Him. I know you want healing. I know you need mercy. But you're distracting me. I need to hear Him. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more. He cried out all the more. And unfortunately, not everyone cries out all the more. If they did, I don't think it would be such a wonderful text. I don't think Luke would even mention it the way he does. If people continually cried out all the more. We need to make sure we're not the people in the front. But you know what? We only can do that by being the people in the back. Crying out all the more. Now there is a uniqueness to this. I don't know if that's a louder. I don't know if he started repeating himself over and over again. I don't know. It kind of depends on how you picture this. Maybe Jesus is in the middle of the road and everyone's, you know, formed a bull ring around him. And he's way in the back shouting as he tries to push forward. Maybe they've, you know, partitioned off the dirt road. And Jesus is walking very easily in the middle of the road. And he's trying to keep up with Jesus as he walks down the road. And I can see people turning around telling him, "Be silent. I can't hear what this dude is saying." And he's not concerned with that. He cries out all the more, and he cries out because he knows. He's blind. He knows what his deficiency is. Not only does he know what his deficiency is, he knows who his deliverer is. That man right there, he can deliver me. You can listen to him all you want. I'm not here to listen to him. I need deliverance. I need the Messiah to deliver me. I need the Son of David. That word means nothing to the church today. We're not Jews. We don't think of it in terms of the messianic promise contained in Son of David. The promise of Israel. The promised restoration. The promised deliverance. Being made whole again. He can't contain himself. He doesn't want to just hear him talk. He wants to see him. He wants to be delivered by him. Not just anyone. He acknowledges who it is. It's the Son of David. I know who he is. I don't need to hear him teach me. We'll find out if you read the context that in 43 he does follow him. Therefore, he probably did get to hear some of his teaching. I can guarantee you one thing. He did not turn around and tell anyone else to be silent when they ran up to Jesus asking for mercy. Because he knew. See, the reason why the church has people who are in the front instead of people who are in the back is we don't recognize our deficiencies. Jesus in the book of John says, in reference to the Pharisees, they ask, "Are we blind?" And he said, "If you were blind and you knew you were blind, you would now see. But because you say you see, you are blind and you remain in your sin." And the beggar, a beggar, looking day to day in provision, gets one opportunity, one chance encounter with the deliverer, the Messiah, the Son of David, and he is going to scream until his voice is gone. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." Can't let the opportunity go. He's only got one shot. He cried out all the more. He cried out to the incarnate Son. And he asked for mercy, favor, restoration, something I don't deserve. "Son of David, have mercy on me." If you read in 41 and 42, you find that he was delivered. He did receive his sight. He received mercy. The church needs individuals who constantly are crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Not because we're blind. Because we're in sin. The church, more than anyone else, should know we are deficient in our humanity. We are deficient in our morality. We are deficient in our religion. We need the Son of David to have mercy on us. That's it. And if there was a resounding echo from the church, "Son of David, have mercy on me," I can guarantee you the world would not be the way it is today. Instead, the world comes in and we're the people in front. We're blind. Spiritually, we're blind in our sin. We shouldn't be this. We teach. We know. We are deficient. We are defective. We are blind. And the Lord our God, the Son of David, has come to provide us mercy and deliverance in a way much greater than blindness, in restoration. He has come to heal our flesh from sin. You who are blind, you don't need to be blind any longer. You who are in sin, don't need to be in sin any longer. He's come to deliver you. Save's a great word. Love it. Salvation's a great term. Love it. Jesus Christ is a deliverer. And those who cry out to Jesus as the Son of God, the son of David, to have mercy upon them, find deliverance when they cry out more and more. I was thinking, I'm going to find it in my phone instead of in the hymnal. On this passage, and the words of a song came to mind. It's funny how often our music actually is doctrinally accurate, and we have no idea because we've sung the words so many times that we forgot what they say. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak, wounded, sick, sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. We're going to sing this. We're going to get an opportunity to cry out to the Son of David, have mercy on me. It doesn't have to be just for salvation. You're in the flesh. We're still deficient. We need to pray this prayer every day. Son of David, have mercy on me. Some of us need to pray it every hour. I, for one, try and pray it every 30 minutes. Son of David, have mercy on me. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. That's mercy. That's the Son of David. And when we acknowledge our weakness, our woundedness, our sickness, and our soreness, the Savior desires to deliver us from all of it. We have two options. We can either be the one shouting in the back for deliverance, or we can be the one shouting in the front for the other person to shut up. We can either desire to hear Jesus, or we can desire to be delivered by Jesus. Amen. Hearing Him is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough for the church. It wasn't enough for the blind man, and it can't be enough for you or for I. We're going to sing, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, before taking the Lord's Supper. I want you to focus on the Lord's Supper in a different way today. I want it to be the joyful celebration of that deliverance. We're going to sing as many of the verses of Come Ye Sinners as we have in the slides. I want you to take the opportunity, sing that song for real. Or pray that prayer in the pew that you need to pray. Make your heart right with God, not through some petition of yourself. Son of David, have mercy on me. For some of y'all, that'll be the first time you've prayed that prayer. That's okay. Doesn't get much easier the second time either. For some of us, we need to pray it a second time. For some of us, we need to log 10 or 20 times. Now I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer in your heart, pray that prayer through the words on the screen. Prepare yourself to joyfully celebrate the Lord's Supper. I didn't ask Luke, so he may flip out. I want joyful songs when we hand out the elements, when we all get to heaven, when the roll is called up yonder. That's our deliverance. We're going to celebrate our deliverance today. In case you've missed it and misunderstood what I am saying, we are full of sin. The Savior wants to deliver us from that. Remove it. Take it away. He did that through death on a cross. He does it through mercy. And it's simple. Four words. Have mercy on me. That's all it takes. If you'll pray with me.